Leviticus.
We were on Leviticus 1 three and a half years ago.
Verse 3. Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, if any man of you bring an offering unto the Lord, you shall bring your offering of the cattle, even of the herd, and of the flock. And if his offering be a burnt sacrifice, it's still burnt offering of the herd, let him offer a male without blemish. He shall offer it of his own voluntary will at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation before the Lord. The word, which I'm, you know, going to the, but the word voluntary, of his own voluntary will, is a word that has, it can't be used in any other way. And it's a word that defines the response of the giver and the receiver to the this is the horizon point of the burnt offering, the highest service, the highest thing you can do in the mind of God. To you, the offerer, it has to be of your own voluntary will, what it just says. And it has to be, therefore, if I had to say another, you know, if I were writing synonyms for this, his own voluntary will, it would also be hilarios in the Greek. It would be, in the New Testament, it said cheerful. It's a hilarious giver. It's the voluntary will has the connotation, has the meaning with it of being hilarious. The Lord loves a cheerful giver. And that responds to, or that is the definition of what the word means with regard to the offerer's viewpoint. The word also has the context that it means for his acceptance. And so it defines, the act of giving defines the act of receiving. The idea that you could give yourself hilariously defines it in a strange grammatical structure. It defines the fact that by definition makes it acceptable to the Father. You understand? I mean, this is not a light matter. For you to be able to offer a burnt offering of your own voluntary will, with all that it's going to entail, that we'll understand, the only way that that's possible for you to do is when you've seen and attempted to offer that offering at every other place. You've attempted every other kind of offering to every other kind of place. Your own voluntary will doesn't define an act of freedom of will. It defines an act of desperation, and the desperation in the spirit defines hilarity. This is
the last part, the desperation in the spirit defines hilarity. You mean the release of that desperation is automatically hilarious?
No. The act of desperation to you is the idea that you have tried to make this offering at every other location and it wasn't acceptable. In other words, you have no other places, there's no other place by which you can offer the offering. That act defines, the soul's response to that act is hilarity. Finally, there's a place where the offering's accepted.
Okay.
You have tried from your very beginning to accomplish this. In a very real sense, every act that you have done from your earliest childhood, from the act of drawing a picture for your mother, from the act of trying to get good grades in school, from the act of trying to appear right before your parents or your lovers or your girlfriends or your boyfriends or your husbands or your wives or your children or me or anybody else, every other you have offered, you have made an attempt to offer the burnt offering. You didn't do this consciously. It's what you've been doing. You understand it? It's the way it is. Ever since you have been conscious of self, you have done nothing in this metaphor except try to give the offering. And every other place up till this point, the offering has been rejected. It's been rejected in your there's nowhere that you, if in the wild part about this is, if there was any other place that you thought that the offering would be acceptable, you would be there. Am I?
Yeah, it's kind of when you come upon the simplicity of Christ, you think, what the hell have I been doing all this time? And this is right here before me.
Yeah, but you got to think about this hunk of protoplasm, these hunks, as different now. They're either, they have had no other function other than this circuitous route, testing all other possibilities, all other little paths to make, because you were designed to be the burnt offering. And so you had to test it at every place. Now, I'm not talking about anything religious. That's the way you were made. Every time, well, the easiest example that probably is the greatest communicator of it is Julie comes home from school and she has drawn a picture and she is so proud of it, it fills her whole heart. And she comes home to show it to you and you've got a headache. And she shows it to you, and you either ignore it or consider it lightly. That defines your life. You have been Julie all your life, trying to find an acceptable place for the offering. Every one of you.
You can make the offering in your mind, too.
Well, that's the only place you can make it. You've made the offering to every other god of your life.
I hear that.
You got to get it in your mind that what I'm talking about isn't optional. It's the way it is. It doesn't matter whether you were in a Buddhist or a Muslim or a Jew, or a Catholic, at any time of the universe, at all times, at all places, in this slice of the mystery that we're looking at, each human being has been designed to be a burnt offering, and they offered and offered and offered every place trying to find a place of acceptance. Does everybody understand this clearly?
Yeah.
Now, in order to make sure you understand it, I want to have each one of you give me at least one example of where you have offered your burnt offering and it wasn't accepted. Now, this is the reason I'm doing this is I have to be clear in my mind that you understand this. Otherwise, we can't leave anybody out here.
One of the clearest examples, I mean, there's many, but is an offering of being sincere when I wanted to wash your feet that time upstairs at the Buckner's. And
and thinking that that was defined, the purest form of my being was defined in that being sincere about what I was saying. And that's the thing, and that's kind of what got tested last night a little bit. You know, when I offer something, and if there's any kind of sincerity attached to it, then
right.
that's the clearest
right.
thing I have. Because it was frustrated,
All that indicates in this metaphor is that you offered the burnt offering to the wrong God.
What was the God?
Me.
Yeah.
In that instance.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I didn't accept it. Okay. You see that one clear? That's an easy one. Because I'm such a bad God.
Okay.
Well, from God's standpoint, you got to finally get. God doesn't care about anything. I mean, from his standpoint, as soon as you give importance to something, he calls it God. Mm-hmm. With a small g.
Well, the thing is, I mean, it's the same kind of offering. I mean, I try to make, and there's only a few places. Something always, why do people, I mean, I don't believe people actually believe that kind of lie, but it's convenient to, somehow I think it's convenient. You know, when somebody's being sincere, toward you. I mean, there's something that didn't set right. Why do people allow, if it's me or anybody else to, because I don't believe they really believe that kind of stuff.
Of course they can't. No. If they are able to be sincere, then by definition they are righteous.
Okay, I'm talking about other people's response towards somebody, towards me, say, being sincere.
Well, because they love it, because they love to be worshipped. They shall be, does it not say in your law, you are as gods? Gods love worship, no matter if they have a small g or a big g. I mean, this stuff is so common. I mean, it's all that happens.
Yeah.
It seems like what mostly happens is people are afraid that they want to offer the sacrifice, but they want to just offer enough of it that they think might get accepted, and even that's not accepted.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see the biggie of that in a minute, but by definition, when you're offering the burnt sacrifice, the burnt offering, you're offering of your voluntary will, which defines sincerity, and you were offering, all that sincerity is something that is untested.
Yeah. Well, the sincerity is different from being without guile. It's kind of a different situation. Or
well,
like false absence of guile or something. It's like being without guile and thinking that you were without guile, whereas really being without guile is not knowing that you were without guile.
That's right. It's like
sincerity is conscious innocence, which is somehow
evil.
It exits each other out.
Okay, who's next on the list?
Well, I was talking about just the thing about the biggest rejection would be when I offered myself to my ex-wife. She didn't buy it.
Yeah.
I mean, that leaps to mind.
That's good.
it's another way of saying, telling about how we all always look for approval. And I see it close in terms of one-on-one relationship. I see it most clearly with my dad. Just total rejection. From as far back as I can remember, which is very hard, but it's there all the time.
Okay. The only way you can forgive someone for rejecting you is to see in its total is to see two things. They're only rejecting you. You could only have put yourself in the position to be rejected if you were offering a burnt offering. I mean, you understand? That's the only thing. Yeah.
It's the same
Right. Now, that's, there's no other way, there's no other possibility of being rejected in the spirit. Now, so the only way you can forgive someone for rejecting you is to be able to forgive yourself for offering the wrong sacrifice to the wrong God. When that happens, then the forgiveness of, I mean, everybody else is instant.
Because in fact, you made them into that God.
That's right.
And you, so their rejection of you was kind of an automatic thing. That,
and this is total. That's why I don't give a shit about things, because I don't have any gods.
There's that one script. I remember one time in over when we were having hot seats, and I was on a hot seat, and I've been going through this, struggling through this thing, and it came to me about they're not rejecting, you know, rejecting this outside stuff that talks about againstness and all this. I mean, there was a big difference between, you know, the knowing the part in me that is love, and that where there is fellowship, and then this other stuff that, you know, that I think I am. You know, that's the part that got rejected. But then, you know, when you were talking here, there's that scripture, though I give my body to be burned and have not, you know, that's what I, you know, we try and give our body to be burned, or, you know, it's all these self-sacrifices that we were talking about earlier, when you think you're doing the right thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's that, and you're trying to offer the wrong, this burnt offering of, I don't know how that, it's like polluted flesh or something, I don't know.
So nobody ever really accepts anybody's offering. There always be something that puts some kind of price on it, or some kind of...
It's always conditional.
Yeah.
There's never...
Even
the only
appearance of acceptance.
It's because it's always in comparison. Even if it's seemingly accepted, it's only because it's in comparison with something else.
Right. There's only been one person in the entire universe that was not rejected at what he did. Christ. That was every other appearance of camaraderie, of fellowship, of friendship, offers. I mean, all those terms are defined by some mutual act. Mm-hmm. Or marriage. I mean, everything is bullshit when you see this. Because there's only one that has ever been offered without condition and has been accepted on his, by his, the voluntary. That was the act of Christ's burnt offering to the Father. This is now we're entering into the deeper things of God here. Because when you see this, then you can walk in the light as he is in the light. Then you can have fellowship.
Mm-hmm.
Any other basis, any other thing, is this wrong? It's still in its, it may be of God, because you're moving on this pathway looking for the right place, and you've got to find and reject them all. Mm-hmm. But you understand, there is no parent that has ever accepted the child. There's no child that has ever accepted the parent. There is no man that has ever accepted a woman. There's no woman that has ever accepted a man. There's no nothing. There's no business. There's no relationship. There's no relationships in any domain save this one. Singular. There's only one act in the entire universe and in all of time that has ever met this phenomenon of he shall offer it of his own very voluntary will, he shall offer it for his acceptance. Every other thing that you have done is trying to find a place to offer yourself as the burnt offering. Everything.
It's so tough. It's like going back to the talk we had yesterday and saying that if this isn't the right pathway with him now, then the only thing left is suicide.
Right. I mean, that's why from now on among us, the only kind of counseling that can ever take place and that's mostly what I do anyway, at the bottom line, but especially among you all, is to cut the baby in half.
Yeah, that's...
That's all that's left.
That's the only thing that works, that anything ever real happens.
I mean, everything else, when we can, when I am convinced that this, that stealth in their understanding has understood this, this simple Leviticus 1:3, when I'm convinced you've understood it, then you have taken a you've taken a trip of a billion light years beyond anyone else in the human race. Hallelujah. And that's the trip of going, you can, is going through the door and standing before the altar.
Wow.
And it's all the mystery now at this juncture is locked into that simple scripture, Leviticus 1:3.
But I don't know why it brings me back to the very, almost the very first thing that, that happened to me when I came into this group, and I was going through a divorce and or separation, and you know, trying to call something, and you're saying to me, let it be. And, you know, the only way I heard that was, you know, it's like faith on the one hand to let it be, and then my actions on the other, that to try and secure it. And it would, you know, I would not have, I don't think, I mean, that one thing sustained me for 10 years, you know, but that was, I mean, it's the same. That's the same thing that you're saying now, that you're saying then, and that, I mean, it's expanded over, many dimensions, but it's the same.
The difference is, when I said that to you then, I knew that in your mind, when I said, let it be, you thought that by letting it be, it would come to a successful conclusion by your understanding.
Yeah.
That's why... To the child, the spiritual child, even to the spiritual adolescent, and even to the spiritual young man, faith is a commodity. And all that you're able to do is say the Lord's Prayer in reverse. Now, that too is of God, because you have to go through that to reach the door. I mean, that's where Tyra is right now, and hopefully coming out of it, to see that faith isn't a commodity, that you, by that faith, you get something that's perceived by the senses. Faith is, really, when you get down to it, all that faith is walking from this door to the mercy seat. There hasn't been any faith left. That's why he says, when I come, shall I find faith in the earth? He didn't give a shit about the faith of all these jokers on television and radio running around doing stuff. He didn't care about your faith. Those are childish things compared to the things of God. You're getting a hint of... Mm-hmm. Now tell me one of your burnt offerings. There are probably so many that...
I try to learn off myself.
What about today? Yeah, that's what you should ask. How many and where have we offered ourselves today?
George, there's a thing going on where I try to do my work right here in Boston, and it's like, you know, he really doesn't give a shit, and he's pretty upfront about it, and it blows me away because of all my machinations or whatever the word is.
That's a good word.
And he just scheming, yeah. And he said, I don't care, Billy, whose fault, you know, once the mistake's made, you know, I don't care whether you did it or didn't do it, and let's just rectify the situation and move on. So.
Sounds to me like you got the perfect
problem.
He's
he didn't bother
that shit.
He's inviting my guilt trips, my self guilt trips. Then today, I was looking forward to going out with the girl that, Linda, which is a girl that works with Pam, that she set up a date for, and I realized this morning I didn't have any brown socks left. I'm like, well, shit, I'm not going to look for a date. And I was trying, still trying to.
Good, right.
I got some brown socks. I'll put a ditch out of that.
Why did you want to wear brown socks with gray pants?
It's your blue pants. Or dark socks.
Well, anyway, now I must forget about socks. Okay, that's enough. I'm bored with your
offerings. You want to know all the details about our current offerings.
I'm going to get some socks, Pete. That'll work.
So what's going on?
Oh, God.
Don't make a confession at burn offering.
Oh, it's,
The trick is to not see you as a god and you say anything you want to. It doesn't matter.
I just, when Pete said that, where did I offer that today? I thought about when I had to go down to Sophia's, and I felt uncomfortable talking, not about the money or not about, I mean, I felt no problem once I was there talking about that. But I felt uncomfortable about, like, a certain ingratiatingness when I was talking. Maybe it was to Julie about the restaurant or the promotion or something. And it just, and I knew I felt funny. And now I felt sick. You know, it just, and I you know, because it's that.
I wish you
hadn't said that. What are you doing down there?
Nothing.
Building a dance floor, maybe.
No.
Okay, we don't need, we got the picture. That's enough of your burnout.
Can we go with the chamber?
What? Yeah.
About an hour ago, right, I had to get you to go in there and listen.
He was waiting for you.
Some what?
He offered an offering to me a little while ago.
But the really sick, that's bad enough.
The sicker stuff?
The really sick part is, I knew that those were six really good commercials. There's no question in my mind I should go ahead and make all six of them. But I had to make believe I didn't know that. And then trying to manipulate you into listening to them and get you to say, knowing you would say, do all six of them.
Oh, fuck, Harry!
I mean, it's just dog puke.
Hey, you gotta puke on me, I'll puke right on you. And just like wipe ourselves down in it and walk around.
I had a plan for Larry, I had a plan for Barbara, I had a plan for you. Yes, bullshit.
You did the same thing to me.
I know.
Okay. Now
you
again,
weren't doing it just to,
from now on,
No,
from now on I want you to spend a lot of time vomiting. Because now the path is, you know, in comparison,
I keep seeing this picture through all time and space of an infinite number of sperm cells all banging their heads against the rubber wall, and there's like only one spot through it about a micron wide. Everybody else is just banging their head against this wall.
Okay, well, for us now, as we stand before the door and start to walk through the door, the path has gotten infinitely small. The path now cannot ever even tolerate a nanosecond of self. Now the path will be a sustained consciousness of error. It's big. I don't want any more burnt offerings, and I will raise more hell than you've ever dreamed of when I see you offering your burnt offerings at the wrong place.
Sophia.
Anybody have any other they want to talk about?
It's here at the door where it's offered, even though it's burned on the altar.
Okay.
So it's right. Right. Are other things offered at the door, or is that only where it mentions that?
We're just concerned right now with the one. Let's not get too concerned.
Yeah. Just sounded like a burn off. Sounded like maybe we're approaching a burn off.
Anybody have anything else? Any other
question?
I think that's all. I think of everybody as a god. I mean,
either they're better looking or they're smarter or they're something better somehow, you know. But I'm not sure what I did.
I want you, the real, this is going to sound really strange, but the test, the internalized test of whether or not you understand this, is that there is not one thing in your life that you would change. There is not one thing in your life that you would desire. There is not one thing that anyone else has that you are envious of. There is not one person in the world that you would like to be like. There is not one part of anyone else's body in the entire universe that you would trade for your own. There is no place other than you. Perfect. Accepted. You understand that that defines whether or not you're at the door?
Yeah. And if people offer us, trying to offer us, and we just, our response is always to tell them that they are accepted. They're offering.
Our response is accepted. No, our response is to take it.
To take it?
Amen. Read the latter chapters of Isaiah. Kings shall make offerings at your door. It's not our business to
do. Well, like in the
body.
In other words, you know you're accepting them as God, right?
Right.
Is that what you're
Amen.
Saying? So
you don't ever once judge another person's offering except among us. You understand this? This is a biggie. Otherwise, you run around. Now you can start judging like you never even believed you've been judging before, unless you understand that is.
Yeah, okay. That makes sense. Because people are offering to us and we're the priests receiving it.
Man.
So it is, they are offering it to God.
Man. And if you really see it, if you could see and taste this for 1 second, you are the altar, and that altar is anything that touches the altar is sanctified. Now you can understand what you can do in terms of the power from the Spirit of God that's available to you. You remind me of Marjorie. Does everybody clearly see where you've offered your burnt offering to the wrong God?
Where haven't?
What tree haven't you lain under?
Down.
It seems like a mean trick, though, honestly.
That probably that ranks up there among the two or three dumbest things that anybody's ever said in Bible study.
It's not like an offering to anybody because obviously
nobody appreciates it.
It's an offering of dumbness.
To the stupid
God.
The Lord answered Job and said, "Shall he that contendeth with the Almighty instruct you?"
That's pretty good, Steve. Now, what were you saying, Jim?
It seems like a mean trick.
Why?
You know, that you're doing all this to get accepted all the time and you get shut down at every turn. Isn't it mean?
is it mean to assay gold and break the quartz that the gold shows? It only is mean if you have the mind of the quartz instead of the mind of the gold. We have the mind of Christ.
Don't we? Mind of
we get the rhinestone.
Here at Trinity, we never stop asking, what if?
Never stop asking what?
What if?
Well, it always drives me crazy.
Tomorrow is...
You didn't say this. I watch soap operas a lot. But you always get in these situations where somebody finds out something from their past that this is their hidden problem. They get so indignant because they didn't know about this. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like instead of being grateful for the fact that it's all out now and everything's great, they're all pissed off because it was all so bad before. You know, and it was...
Yeah, they're all...
I felt like I was miserable.
Damn. We haven't known that before.
That's crazy. You know that, speaking of soap operas...
I used to have fun when I was a kid.
They had a story on news or something about soap operas, and they were talking about how they always have, like, an extended family. Like, they've got more people in their families than people normally do now, you know, all jammed up into one place. And it's because it serves as a substitute for an extended family for people. They're always there, they're always on TV. Every day you watch it. You get to interact with this extended family, but you don't have to actually be there.
Sort of like the electric church.
Yeah, I mean, it's a wild
the
deal.
Or the kids' club.
The kids' club and shit like that.
Do you have anything you're going to add to your message tonight?
That's such a strong
finish.
I don't
know if we can take it or not.
Yeah, and below is the one
that doesn't want to go there.
We just need a whack at this thing.
That pushes over the edge.
You don't really have anything left to say.
Well, I got a lot to say.
You can fill books with it.
The number one thing I want to say to you is don't try to teach about this yet in your groups.
Are you saying that you're not going to take it? You're trying to make a point.
We will serve.
Yeah, don't try this at home. That's good.
Don't try this with your kids.
No, only trained. These are trained professionals. It's called. No, seriously.
Please, no.
No, no. Listen. What you would do automatically is you'd be seething the children in the mother's milk.
As you said the other day, just let me see you.
What? Well, I'm going to see the shit out of you.
I know.
So to speak. And the vomit.
Oh, yes, maybe that's how lenient you are in your old age.
Everybody else.
Yeah.
That's bananas if I'm lenient. Am I lenient?
Holy cow, yes.
Well, you are to most people.
Oh, shit. Did you hear that?
We have the privilege of being the first ones.
Now this little self-righteousness raised its...
And once again, there it is. You can see it all over the place. I am self-righteous. Being so evil.
Don't forget.
Evil.
Worse than evil. Enough Levi trees.
I don't know why there's a need in me to do something. There's a one of the things that we haven't a lot of stuff we haven't talked about, obviously, but one of them, it's called the Sabbath Psalm, and it's the psalm that is read on every Sabbath. It's Psalm, let's go there, 90. No, it's not 95.
95, I open my book here too.
Sure.
Everybody's Bible opens on
95. Psalm 92.
I can't find it.
And everybody's Bible is good. Hey, it's
a psalm. It is a good one.
Now, the Talmud says of this psalm, well, when you go through the 7 days of the book of the Feast of Tabernacles, each of the 7 days,
there's a song about this.
I know. Shut up, John. Each of the 7 days relate, you know, on the first day God created in heaven and the earth, and then. And Isaiah it says, and the heavens and the earth shall fade away as smoke, and etc. I mean, there's Each of the 7 days has a corresponding day of destruction. Each of the things created in each of the days has a corresponding day of destruction. No, this is secret banana stuff, but I'm sort of... But the idea of remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy, and then the corresponding destruction scripture is he who profanes the Sabbath shall be killed. Now, there's an infinite number of ways to profane the Sabbath. The Talmud says that as Adam saw each of the 7 days, and then saw each, on day one he saw the destruction, the creation, and he was taken in the spirit to see its destruction. Day two he saw it was created, and he was taken in the spirit to see the destruction, on and on and on. Until he got to the seventh day, the day of rest, and he saw that he profaned it, but then he heard the words of God to Cain, "Why is your countenance down? Do you not know or see the sin offering at the door?" And then Adam then wrote Psalm 92. So Psalm 92, according to the ancient rabbis, is the first scripture that was ever done. Okay?
That's pretty wild.
Golly. That would attract you.
That's
mind blowing. And then David just repeated it or something?
No, this is. Look, David didn't read all of these. It never, nobody ever claimed that David. It's only in your stupid Sunday schools that says David wrote these.
Yeah, they.
All right.
Ooh, that's wild.
It is a good thing to give thanks. And he saw this immediately. He wrote this immediately after he saw that he profaned the Sabbath. You got it? You got that picture? It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord, and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High, to show forth thy loving kindness in the morning, and thy faithfulness every night, upon an instrument of 10 strings, and upon the psaltery, upon the harp with a solemn sound. For thou, Lord, hast made me glad through thy work. I will triumph in the works of thy hands. The reason he could say that is he saw the offering, he saw Christ, he saw Jesus. O Lord, how great are thy works, and thy thoughts are very deep. A brutish man knoweth not. Now, every time you see brutish in the scripture, you know it's talking about one who judges by their senses. A brutish man knoweth not, neither doth a fool understand this. When the self-seeking spring up as the grass, when all the workers of iniquity do flourish.
It's Adam.
Huh? Yeah. It is that they shall be destroyed forever. And he's just seen the 7 days of destruction. But thou, O Lord, art most high forevermore. For lo, thine enemies, O Lord, for lo, thine enemies shall perish. All the workers of iniquity shall be scattered, but my horn shalt thou exalt like the horn of a unicorn. I shall be anointed or christed with fresh oil. Mine eye also shall see my desire on mine enemies, and mine ear shall hear my desire of the wicked that rise up against me. The righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. He shall grow up like a cedar in Lebanon. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing, to show that the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. Now the bringing forth fruit in the old age is the bringing forth of the Messiah on the eighth day.
That's the tree of life, too.
Amen. So the point of it is that even in the Sabbath, the rest of God. Adam looked and saw his sin and saw the sin offering, Christ, at the door, and looked forward to see the eighth day of the resurrection, the fruit that takes place automatically when you're at rest. Amen?
Adam saw that the last Adam came forth from him.
Amen.
Well, that topped your last ending. I'm glad we went on.
The gospel, the covenant, was there before the foundation of the world. All you had to see was, thou shalt have no other gods before me. The rabbis say that
did they read this at the Feast of Tabernacles? Because it was a Sabbath?
No, they just read it on every Sabbath.
Yeah.
Intervening Sabbath.
It was a Sabbath. One of those days was a Sabbath.
Yeah, right. Because eight,
yeah.
Seven has to go into eight.
Yeah.
And there has to be more than one left open. That means.
I got it.
Go to Sabbath?
Hmm?
Two Sabbaths. Is that what you're saying?
No.
Forget it.
Forget it. Don't think about it.
I'll try this at home.
And I gave my heart to seek and search out by wisdom concerning all things that are done under heaven. This sore travail hath God given to the sons of men to be exercised therewith. To be exercised is to be humbled. The sore travail, it's as if an old man was sitting at the crossroads, and there were two roads, and at the one road there was thorns and thickets and hills and rocks at the front of the road, and then it was straight and even and easy at the end. The other road, it was straight and easy and even at the start. And at the end of the row was thorns and thickets and hills and rocks. The rabbis say this sore travail is the thorns and thickets and rocks. And the sore travail is the Torah. You'll either serve it, it'll either be now, then the straight and even and easy path is repentance, abandonment of self. Then it's straight and easy and even.
This thing about Adam, both being Adam's words, Adam was called awake by God. And almost immediately, as you said the other night, went to Babylon. And in this psalm, his words, he's saying, he sees that he must die. He must die because he's foolish, brutish, wicked. He's flourishing, but it's only to die. But he sees the end.
Anybody have anything else?
No, when you were saying that, it made me think, you know, when David said, I see my Lord, he said it on, and that, I think there never was much of a relationship when he was saying that, other than him, now, him looking towards his inheritance. I mean, knowing that his life was in that.
Okay.
And I didn't know, I didn't have much of a...
That's why it's always the same, and that's why, you know, it's the problems that we've had with a lot of you, especially Gary, over the years, is the idea of, well, when was the gospel preached? Oh, it was always there.
that, yeah, this proves that the first man saw it.
You know, obviously there's some problems with it because the scriptures don't talk about Adam ever seeing. They talk about, in the New Testament, they talk about Abel seeing. But I think as we go deeper into these things, we'll see that more and more people saw. We will lose our exclusivity. Take it, big guy.